All right, good morning. Hear ye, all loyal subjects of the Bipolar Bear Podcast, featuring yours truly, Garrett Michael Conklin. Hey, I've got some news for today, man. I'm a complete bonehead. Did I mention I got a new car? I got a Toyota RAV4 Prime, a 2021. Woo! It's really cool, though. I like the battery, the hybrid thing. It's a hybrid battery, gas-type car. It looks pretty sharp. Got it for a good deal, I think. So I'm real proud with it, proud about it. And yesterday I had to drop off some preliminary work paperwork because, as I mentioned, the HR rep for my new company will not be in the office next week. So we're trying to get a jump on all that stuff, make sure everything's in the system. And as I was backing out of the parking lot, I friggin' hit another car. Oh my God. I mean, that is like the bonehead move. This car has a beeper on the back of the tell. It didn't, oddly, I'm disappointed. It didn't beep and tell me, hey, you're going to hit something, which it normally does. But anyway, I bumped up my back bumper. So now I got to take my car in to get it fixed. It's 3 weeks or so old and I already bonked it. So yeah, I'm a bonehead. But you know, what are you going to do? Accidents happen. It was a kind of a cool story though, only because, excuse me, I was, I hit the car and it was just in a parking lot and it was just random car. And I don't know where this person is. They weren't in the car. In the car, it was parked. Those little skips like that are hiccups. I apologize. Sometimes I have hiccups in the morning. Anyway. So I'm kind of walking around going like, what should I do here? And so I ended up deciding to just, I took a piece of paper, wrote my name, my phone number, and, you know, apologies, I backed into your car, please call me. And the lady called me Peggy. Her name was Peggy. And she was such a sweetheart, you know, and I felt so bad, obviously. I mean, no, it sucks. Can you imagine coming out from whatever you're doing and in a parking lot and somebody having bonked your car? And she's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I appreciate you so much leaving a note. The last time I got hit in this parking lot, no one left anything. I'm like, what? So first off, I'm thinking, oh crap, my car is going to be in this parking lot and it's going to be in jeopardy of being bonked every day. I'm like, oh, thrilling. And then second of all, I'm like, wow, what kind of a shithead does that? You hit a car and you don't leave a note, nothing. You just leave. That's bullshit. I mean, that's what you have insurance for. I mean, but talk about bad karma. Why would you do that? That's terrible. I mean, honestly, I would be pissed to come out to my car having been hit at all. And then on top of it, no, nothing. I'm like, that would be complete horseshit. Why would anybody do that? But I guess there's those kind of people out there. Anyway, yeah, so fun little story. So later this morning, I'm going to take my car up to the shop to have it looked at, and hopefully they can get it. It really just needs to be probably buffed out and painted. And it's just a little tiny quarter panel piece. Like there's a separate piece from the whole back bumper and all these things are plastic. So it didn't damage it. It just scuffed up the paint. So it needs to be repainted. So I'm hoping they can do it before Tuesday because I actually need my car to get to work Tuesday. Now that I'm not working remote anymore, it's actually an issue. So of course I put myself in this additional stress. I'm such a fucking idiot. And then I came home immediately and called out my 18-year-old daughter who just started driving. I'm like, okay, come on out and see what Dad did to the brand new car. Because if I ever give you shit about anything, I want you to say, you know, I've been driving for 30 years, I think. Yeah, 32 years I've been driving. Stupid things happen. But, you know, it's just a life lesson. You know, what are you going to do? But you always do the right thing. That's my point is don't screw people over. That's bullshit. If you bump somebody in the parking lot or whatever, you damage something, do the right thing. Don't just walk away. That's some horse shit right there. No sense ruining somebody's day doubly by, them coming and finding out that their car got bumped into and then they just have to declaim it on their insurance. That's not cool. It was my fault. You know, what are you going to do? Accidents happen. Own your shit, man. That's how I try to live my life. That's how I think, I tell everybody else to live their lives. So yeah, anybody take a look at that video from yesterday that I had mentioned? I still haven't had a chance to finish it, but I got real busy with work because another funny story is that this place is literally falling to pieces without me, which I think is funny. Not in the traditional sense, in that I don't know why they let this happen and they devalued me to the point where I don't want to be here anymore, but that's what they did. And this is what they get. Unfortunately, the client that I work most closely with is having a lot of problems and a lot of issues that it's one of those things. Like if you've ever worked in technology or in the cloud, you just, especially in AWS, you just have to know what you're doing. It's one of those things where they're trying to get me to explain and teach people how to do what I do all day. And it's simply not possible. I'm not trying to be difficult about this. It's just, if you're in technology, you know what I'm talking about. It's like somebody saying, okay, well, this whole app stack is written in Python. If you don't know Python, you have to know Python, right? As a programming language, you have to know that language or none of this is going to make any sense to you. And there's nothing that I can do in a bridged version of like, okay, this is what you know. You just have to be able to read the code, understand what it's doing, and make the changes. And use the CI/CD pipeline for the delivery of the code and use the GitHub repository for the management and revision control of the code. All that stuff, you have to just know how to do it. That's what's called experience. So I can't just sit there with people that have never done this and explain to them, you know, like a 5-year minimum experience plan. Like you have had to have done this for, all right, let's just say 1 year. I'll go to the bare minimum. Let's say you have to have something. I can't take someone that's not really very technical and teach them this stuff in an hour long meeting in a transition handoff meeting. I mean, this is why I'm leaving, because they're just completely delusional. This isn't a tool like that where you just go, yeah, click this button, push that button. There's everything in the menu. No, it's you have to know what you're doing. If somebody says, I'm not receiving notifications, you need to know that that's an SNS topic in AWS. And if you don't know what that is, you can't find it. Right? These things don't, there isn't a dashboard in AWS that shows you all the things you have. It's just the things that you've been using. So when I started to take over the technology component of this when the last guy left, or when I got demoted, my dashboard in AWS, the console, had nothing in it because I hadn't done anything in the tenant yet or in the account. So until I started getting into EC2 and Lambda and RDS and Redshift and you know, the load balancers and Route 53 and EKS and all that stuff, there was no like shortcuts on my dashboard. And you know, there's quite a few services in AWS and the Amazon Web Services. There's a lot of services. And if it doesn't give you like this overview of, oh, you've got this many of this and you've got this many of that, at least not in this account, it does not tell you that stuff. It's just a blank dashboard. So not only do you have to know what you're doing, but it's fundamental because, you know, if you don't know what an EC2 instance is, which shockingly, I don't know why they're even using that stuff still, but it's still available. You have to know, you know, to go look at the EC2 service. And that doesn't really lead you to believe, if you don't know anything about this cloud, that name doesn't tell you that that's the VM. That's the actual server instances that live in AWS. Crazy, right? I mean, it's Route 53 is DNS. You know, does that really go together? They have their own nomenclature, right? I mean, so you do need to know what you're doing. And I've tried to tell this company for 18 straight months that we need people here that know what the fuck they're doing. You cannot have just one person doing everything. It's not feasible. It's completely unreasonable. And they don't give a shit. So everybody left. And I literally mean everybody in the engineering layer that knew what they were doing. Once I'm gone in the AWS world, there's no one. They have to use some third party now that I was just trying to brief yesterday. And I basically said, look, if you know the cloud, this won't be that big of a deal for you, because it's not like what they're doing is super complex. Some of it is. Some of their IAM policies and setup is a little bit convoluted and messy, to say the least. And some of the CloudWatch stuff is a little bit wonky and not really where it needs to be. But I haven't had much time to work on this because, like I said, I've only been on my own with this for like the last, not even a month. So, wait, I mean, what am I going to change when all I really spend my time doing is taking inbound requests for like, hey, this is broken. Hey, this isn't working. Hey, can you help me with this? Hey, I need access for that. So I've been spending the majority of my time doing, you know, on-demand dynamic stuff, not trying to figure out what the hell they've got going on there and how we can make it better and fix it and clean it all up. That's a whole nother project. So they got all these pending things coming, like, you know, when you have EC2 instances and they have a hardware failure at AWS, meaning an EC2 instance is a virtual machine, right? Like VMware, same kind of idea, fundamentally, conceptually, same idea. It's an operating system virtualized that sits above discrete hardware that you don't ever touch. Right. So that's the beauty of it, is the hardware beneath this layer of middleware. It enables you to just swap in and out the hardware whenever you want. And if it breaks, it doesn't work, it needs a new disk, all that stuff becomes arbitrary. And I don't have to manage that. That's what AWS manages. All I have to manage in the EC2 world is the instances and the IPs and things like DNS, things like that, and local volumes. Which you really shouldn't be using anyway. You need to use attached storage so that when things like what I'm going to explain happen, you don't have to worry about anything. So, you know, we got a notification that 11 or 12 instances that we have are on faulty hardware and they're going to retire the hardware. So on the 15th of this month, they're just going to shut them all down. So there's your notice. That's the kind of notice AWS gives you to say, hey, do something about this. So we have to shut them down and I mean, it's really a very straightforward process. All you have to do is shut the VM down, and when it comes back up, it will automatically migrate to a new piece of hardware that's not broken. It'll do that for you. That's part of the beauty of the cloud, is it takes care of those things for you. But there, you know, there's this huge to-do about this because none of these people understand what this is. So they're all up in arms about it. I'm like, hey, man, I'm not even going to be here, so I don't know what to tell you. This isn't something I'm going to just do right now. You got to get approval from the client. You got to tell the client. You know, there's all these layers in an MSP that make it much more challenging to do things that are supposed to be simple in the cloud, but these guys overcomplicate everything. And again, they're shitting their pants because there's no one to do it. They're contracting this stuff out now to a third party that doesn't work for the company. So we're trying to get a statement of work together, get contracts signed. You know, obviously this other company isn't going to provide any resources until a contract is signed. And I'm done 1 o'clock tomorrow, actually noon, because I'm driving downtown to turn in all my equipment. And from that point forward, I will no longer work for this company and can't do anything because I don't have any equipment. So they've got like a day and a half to get like a whole bunch of shit transition. It's just not going to happen. I mean, dragging your feet, man, same old thing. I told at the day that I, you know, the day after I submitted my resignation, I had a discussion with my boss and I told him then, I said, look, man, you need to get on this immediately. And this was Monday of last week. You need to immediately jump on the fact that, you know, and this was even my suggestion. If there's this other company we're working and they have resources that can work in this cloud, you need to get them with me immediately. And here we are on Wednesday of the following week. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So shouldn't really count. So eight business days later. That's what I mean. That's jumping on it. That's getting right on it. Was eight business days later. That's where we're at. We had an hour and a half conversation yesterday. And I could tell that everyone was like, huh? And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man. This is what it is. You just have to know what you're doing. You're going to have to get into this thing. And then they're like, well, we'll need access provision. I'm like, well, I can't do that for you. And the guy that's going to, that will do that is on vacation until Let's see. Sometime next week, I think. But point being, there'll actually be a gap. Even if we were to have hired them right now and signed the paperwork, they can't access anything yet. Because it's all done through SSL that's connected to a back-end AD. So the whole thing, that part has to be figured out. And again, I'm not very strong in that part of Windows technology, so I don't know how to do that. I don't even think I have access to do that, to be honest. Even if I could figure it out, I'm sure in an AD UI, I'm sure I could figure out how to add somebody to a group. That's not that difficult, but Google's your friend, right? But yeah, basically what I've told him is I've been reading through documentation because even for me, this stuff is old, right? I mean, I haven't dealt with EC2 instances since like 2015. So it's been a long time. Everybody else that I've been in the cloud with has had containers, which if you know anything about containers and microservices, that obfuscates another layer out. So you're not even dealing with an operating system. You're just making reference to the implication of the operating system, right? So there is no logging in to a container. I mean, you can, but there's no reason to. It runs individualized or what's called microservices. So instead of standing up an entire operating system to run a web reverse proxy like Nginx, you just run Nginx the service in a container using Docker or Kubernetes or EKS or something like that. Right, a container orchestration framework. But all that means is you're just basically managing configuration files, which is why containers are so appealing, because all of the operating system details, all of that stuff is just not something you have to worry about, and everything can become infrastructure as code at that point, because basically all your files become YAML. They're all configuration files. You know, all your Docker Compose files, all your everything you do, you know, is all codified. You can get into Terraform at that point. You know, all that stuff makes a lot of sense to build out your infrastructure with literally one command and do your deployments with literally one command. That kind of stuff. I mean, that's why you do it, because it allows developer teams to manage the infrastructure without having to have necessarily an infrastructure team, depending on the size of the infrastructure, right? I mean, if you've got a decent sized orchestration layer, like thousands of containers or something, yeah, you probably would want a team of people to manage all that stuff with Kubernetes or some other orchestration service and the configurations and things like that. But that team also will have to understand how to use a Git repository, how CI/CD pipelines work with something like Travis or Jenkins or something like that, that, you know, push the code out. That's typically the separation of duties, is the developers write all the code, probably have access to an automated pipeline at a development or test layer, or even a local layer of deployment. And then once that stuff's ready, they promote the code up into like a canary layer or a performance testing layer. And then a release candidate is tagged and cut from that. And then the infrastructure team does the actual release and deployments to production. That's a traditional DevOps model. I mean, that's nothing fancy. That's just how typically those teams that I've worked on have worked. And that seems to be the common approach to it, and the separation of duties, so that you don't have developers just committing code and pushing code to production whenever they feel like it, not knowing if we have the right configuration or what's going to happen, you know, on the ancillary side or any other dependencies that are needed. They're just worried about the code. And my team has always just been worried about the infrastructure and what the change of the code is going to do to the infrastructure. And if there's anything that's needed, like firewall rules or, you know, WAF rules, anything like that, that's outside of the scope of developing an application. And that's how those two teams work together seamlessly. But again, you have to know what you're doing. I mean, it's just a simple fact. You really do have to understand how to do this stuff. And what I explained was like, do you guys just know the cloud or not? Like, if you know what you're doing in the cloud, none of this stuff will be hard. You'll be able to figure it out just by seeing what's there. And, you know, you might cringe at seeing what's there, but nevertheless, you'll understand, okay, well, they've got 10 Elasticsearch instances. This is what it is. It's scaled horizontally. It's 01 through 10, and they're all running on CentOS, or I I think it's CentOS. I'm not sure. They either use CentOS or Ubuntu over here. But yeah, and my biggest conundrum that I've had, word of the day, with this company has been, I don't know what any of their applications actually do. So that makes it more difficult to manage the infrastructure, make suggestions on improving the infrastructure, understanding what can and cannot be done. That kind of stuff is based solely on what the app is capable of doing. For example, if we have an RDS schema that's in there that's in a cluster, and right now the only suggestion I can give, because it's reaching a plateau where it's peaking out and maxing out during peak time, is we have to scale it vertically, meaning I have to increase the size of the RDS instances to handle the additional memory and CPU load that's happening during this load. But what really should be happening is we scale horizontally or elastically, and we add and subtract, because when you scale vertically, it's not dynamic like that. You're just making a larger instance, right? So you're provisioning more resources forever. It's not flexible and dynamic like that. Whereas scaling horizontally through like an auto-scaling group in a load balancer, if there's load, it would just start up another VM to handle that load, or other VMs instances to manage the load. And when the load subsides, it'll turn them off. But you have to have an application architecture that can support that kind of horizontal scalability. And if you don't, it's not going to work. And in this case, we have something that's a one-to-one relationship where one node is read, one node is write, and they just swap between the two of them, which is absolutely ludicrous. I don't know what and who designed this, but it's completely ridiculous. That whole idea makes no sense, but it's just not scalable. So we have to crank up the size of the instances to manage to the fact that from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. noon, this system takes a beating and it's pegging the CPU. And when it does that to the one machine that it's working on, that machine says, oh shit, I'm failing. Let's fail over and hand off to the other machine. And then the other machine ramps up and blasts right into the ceiling. So we really don't solve the problem, because the instances are too small from a capacity and configuration standpoint to handle the load by themselves. You'd need more of them, is my point. But I don't know that the application architecture can support that. So that's not something my company deals with. That's something a third party through this other client company sets up. So it's kind of a mess in that regard. I don't know. If you've ever worked in the cloud, I'm sure that you're like, holy shit, this sounds like a disaster. And it sounds like a disaster because it is. It's not been done right. And it's been done this way for over 6 years, I think, is how long this client has been in the cloud. And it's a shit show, man. It just is. And I feel bad, because this is a great client and I really like the people there. And it's a wonderful piece of technology. In fact, I even considered reaching out to them to see if I could get a job there, because I've always had an affinity for trying to find a technical job that's in the healthcare space, because of all the health problems that I have. As I mentioned some episode back, where I was working with a company that was helping to manage mental health, I thought that would be so great, because then it's like, oh, I'm using my technical skill set to actually do something meaningful for people. And this company is very similar. They're a big thing here in my local area with regard to searching and connecting doctors, and this whole platform that they have is really cool. But the problem is they have a 20-year relationship with the company that I work for now. So I thought it was in very bad taste if I reached out to their director and said, hey, you happen to have any spots for me over there? Because I'm really not feeling it over here, because I'm the single point of contact for the company over here. Right? So it would be like, well, I think that would just be in poor taste and not professional. And, you know, I'm not trying to screw anybody over. I'm just saying that this company is not the right fit for me. They don't see me as valuable. And I don't want to do what I'm doing with them anymore. I'm sick and tired of listening to people that don't know what they're talking about, trying to tell me what to do. That's a real, another conundrum for me. That, you know, if somebody is your boss, they need to understand what the fuck they're doing if they're going to manage you effectively. Like, if you're an engineering manager and you don't know engineering, how are you an engineering manager? It's just not possible. Your people skills are not going to be enough. There's a technical component to this that you need to understand. If you don't understand that, how are you going to effectively manage anybody in that realm? I'm going to come to you with things and you're not going to know what I'm talking about. So how are you going to guide me and mentor me and lead me? That was the purpose of me being a leader at this company, is that there was no one here that knew more than I did about scale and clouds and all that stuff, because I've been doing it for over a decade. But they didn't want that. They want somebody else that's just a yes man, that's going to know jack shit about what they're doing, I'm sure, because anyone with half a brain that talks to these people at this point is hopefully going to be able to see right through it. So they're not going to find another person like me that's going to want to take over and come into that mess. And frankly, there's no one to manage. There's only one guy left. So what is this director of technology going to do? Going to try to do the same shit that I've been trying to do for 18 months and be told, no, 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 we don't want to do that. No, no, but not be told no. Yeah, those are great ideas. And then do nothing with them. And then never get back to you. And then never respond. You know, it's like, you guys got to be shitting me. And they're just killing me these last couple of days with like, we got to do this. We got to do. I'm like, dude, I'm taking my time with everything because fuck you. You know how many times I've sent you guys IMs through Teams or chats through Teams, and it's been days before somebody would respond to me? Like, fuck you. You think I'm going to kill myself the last week or the last couple of days I'm here? You got to be kidding me. You fucked all this up. I'm not trying to absolve myself, because I'm sure that at some point I did something to turn the needle here. And that something was be who I really am, you know, and that's what I was from the start. And like I said this whole time, I don't think they fully understand or understood what I'm was really capable of doing here, and how little they know about it, and how uncomfortable that was going to make them. But they don't like the fact that I came in and knew way more than they knew, and all of the stuff that I know, they don't know shit about. And it makes them very, very nervous and uncomfortable, and because they don't understand what I'm talking about. So they can't really get on board. They can't rebut. They can't even have a conversation about it, because they don't know what I'm talking about. Like, I had to explain to them what DevOps was. Like, dude, it's not, I had to explain to them what the cloud was. I had to explain to them the difference between Azure AD and Azure the cloud in terms of infrastructure. It's two different things. And this is a Windows company, and they don't even know that. It holy shit. I mean, I had to learn that. Because I have not dealt with Azure prior to this place. But looking at this going, well, what is Azure AD? What is Azure? What is M365? So they have a SaaS, a PaaS, and an IaaS platform. So they have the infrastructure side, which is the equivalent to AWS, which is called Azure. But they have something else called Azure AD, which is a PaaS and a SaaS platform where you would host Exchange and SQL and things like that. And then they have the full SaaS, which is M365. So when you're using their Office suite and all those types of products, that all you manage is the software, right? That's all you do. There's no infrastructure whatsoever to manage to. You just pay for licensing for software and everything else is managed. You just use it and pay for it. And that's the end of it. There isn't something like that in AWS. There is no software to be sold and used. So that even that concept differential was like, what do you mean? I'm like, I've said what you invest in Amazon are the people with the skill sets to leverage and utilize the technology, because the tool sets that come with AWS are native to that cloud. Now, AWS is starting to get into like some different spaces in very specific ways, like healthcare and things like that, where they're starting to work with third-party providers, but it's still super development-oriented in its approach. Whereas Windows is using things like Palo Alto firewalls that you go to the marketplace and just click a button and poof, you have a Palo Alto firewall. Now start configuring it. you know, things like that, that are like, again, literal push button to solution. And that's their goal here. But unfortunately, the clients that we're working with, that has nothing to do with what at least this one client is looking for. They're a real infrastructure client, and now they have no real infrastructure people to work with them in the AWS cloud. So they're trying to leverage a third party that they started a relationship with like a month ago, have no SOWs in place, nothing ready, no contract signed, and maybe they'll speed it up. I don't know, but I mean, they literally have today and tomorrow, and that's it. And then they have no one that can do the things that I can do in that cloud for this client. So they basically have no support, and it'll all be deflection and like deferral and, well, we'll get to it. It's going to be a disaster because these people are using me on Teams every day. I get messages, federated teams, through federated teams, meaning I was invited to a Teams conversation with a third party, and they're reaching out to me almost every day. Hey, can you do this? Hey, I need this. Hey, I need that. I'm basically work just for them. And they're going to go to a system where now all you're able to do is send in an email. And at some point, we'll get back to you and tell you if we're going to be able to do this or not. So talk about going the wrong friggin' direction. I don't know what that's going to be like. It's not my problem anymore. I mean, it's so pathetic that even the CEO has not even reached out to me. What a fucking douchebag. I mean, talk about me being right. It's vindicating in one sense, because I mean, clearly this guy's got no spine, no balls, no leadership, no nothing. He doesn't, like I've said before, he can't even stand behind the decisions that he's made. You know, I mean, he should be proud of the fact that, hey, I'm leaving because they don't want me here. Own it, man. I mean, God damn, how are you a CEO? It's just a freaking joke. He has no business running anything. And, you know, he's a nice enough guy, but I mean, that doesn't mean shit when it comes to, you know, doing the right things. Just because you're a nice person doesn't mean you're effective at anything that you're doing. And in this case, I mean, you don't even have any words. No, nothing. No, hey, sorry to see you go. Nothing. Just complete avoidance. He's probably annoyed and irritated by it. And he's a little immature baby. I mean, what else could you call that? That's not a professional. Like I've said, I've been around CEOs that are worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and they don't give a fuck about that shit. They're not nasty or mean, but they are very direct and very concise. And if you're leaving, nobody really cares. And they understand that in the sense that, hey man, thanks for your time. We appreciate you being here. It was great knowing you, and best of wishes to you going forward. You think I would hear that from anyone here? No. I've heard it from a couple associates, you know, some peers that have been like, hey, you know, good luck and stuff like that. But, you know, generally speaking, I think this whole process has told me quite a bit. I've had no one reach out to me but two people. So of the 103 or five or whatever people work at this place, that's the only, you know, and of course they don't announce any of this crap. They don't tell anyone you're leaving. They didn't even tell the client that I'm supporting that I'm leaving. I mean, you know, they're just such a bunch of clowns. It's just unreal that they're in business at all. And that makes me, you know, again, that was another reason for my departure, is that how much longer can they pull this bullshit over clients' eyes before they're just like, fuck you, we're leaving. This is not what we want. Especially the client that I deal with, because the reality is their development team can manage all this stuff. And I've been saying that to them for the entire time I've been here, because I'm like, well, what are you guys going to do when the entire infrastructure becomes infrastructure as code? And they're like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, what do you mean? What do I mean? You don't know what I'm talking about? Infrastructure as code allows a development team to manage the infrastructure without engineering. They can just do it in their code releases through Terraform or Ansible or Chef. You know, all these tools that are available in the open source to use, that all developers use, they can manage it. They don't, what do they need us for? And that was one of my bases for, you know, we need to get into the development space, and we need to try different business models, because we're going to be completely irrelevant at some point in the very near future. Because what are we going to bring to the table? Like, we're trying to work now with a client or with a third party partner that like a channel partner type thing that helps to build up a roadmap and a playbook for AWS. I'm like, what are you guys going to build up? You now you have no one that even knows how to do it. We have no, you have no one here that can program anything now. You have nothing. There's nothing to build. You're not going there. You're not hiring anyone that knows what they're doing in this space. So what are you trying to do? Doesn't make any sense to me. So, I mean, you know, in my mind, other than this one client that is fairly busy from time to time, and there's things to keep you going, I had no job security at all because I was already being questioned, as I had mentioned before. I was already being questioned on what it is that I'm doing every day. So I go from being a leader and an innovator in this company where I'm a top dog at the highest level to literally within a week being demoted and turned into, well, Garrett, what are you doing on your time card? It's not what I expected from billable hours. I don't know. How about shut the fuck up and you have no idea what I'm doing all day? Why don't you try doing it? And hence now they get to try doing it. So I guess they'll see if I was valuable or not. I'm sure they'll get through it because somehow these guys talk their way through all this shit and I don't follow it, but hey, what do I know? They've been able to keep quite a few clients around, even though things like this have been happening, but this is a fairly decent, not my own exit strategy, but this has been a fairly decent exit for a number of technical resources that have left. And the only people that I've seen that have been hired of late are for the first tier help desk type positions. And then they've moved people from the help desk to the administration layer, which is still two and a half layers down from what I'm doing. So they haven't hired anyone to replace me. They haven't hired anyone to replace the guy that quit before me. They didn't hire anyone to replace the guy that quit before him. They didn't hire anyone to replace the guy that quit on the Windows side. So there's literally only the one gentleman that's been here for like 17 years on the Windows side that'll end up having to do probably everything. I'm sure they're going to turn to him for quite a bit of stuff. And interestingly enough, I know he's been made several offers from other places. So it's not like he doesn't have options. I think he just didn't want to go into an office and was enjoying the work from home thing. But if they're going to force him into the cloud and make him learn Linux and all that stuff, I don't know how long that's going to last. But I don't know that he's ever been this much on his own before. I know there was a mass exodus at one point some 3 years ago that was explained to me. But right now, I mean, he's literally the only one left. That's a weird, I don't know, man. And you know, it's not like you can, even if you're on a fast hiring streak, you're not getting anyone in here to do this within 2 weeks, right? And that's the problem. So even if they found like a great candidate for AWS, they're not going to get him for 2 weeks, most likely, unless they have no job at all right now. But most of the people that have that skill set don't live locally and they want to hire local. So if they hire somebody from far away and they want them to come, you know, relocate here, that's a process. If they want them to work remotely, that probably would work, but they may have to give 2 weeks notice or some kind of notice to wherever they're working now. It's not going to work out in the next day and a half. That's for sure. So there will be a gap somewhere. I would be shocked and hopefully they can do this, but I would be shocked if they got the signature that's required for this other third-party company to even come in with their resources and manage this. But again, keep in mind, they're coming in completely blind. So that's why I kept reiterating, it's like, you know, you really do know what you're doing in this cloud, right? Because you're going to have to just figure it out by looking at what's there. There is very little documentation that tells you what's going on here. That's what I'm struggling with, is I don't know what any of this shit does. So when the questions come in that say, hey, can we do this? I'm like, sure. I don't know. How would I, you know, we have to have a much more in-depth conversation about, okay, well, what is your app doing? Can I scale? Can we add more RDS instances or do I have to make them bigger? Can we add more eSearch nodes or, you know, what is your app doing? I don't know anything about their apps. I don't know really who's developing them. There's at least two different external companies that have developed apps. They have their own development team internal. There's quite a bit to take on. you know, so it's not just this simple, straightforward thing. But that's why I kept saying, and I've tried to explain to this company in general, the company I work for now, that look, this is not about buying a tool. The tool is the cloud. You need to buy people that know how to use the tool. It's like having a crane on a construction site and then telling, you know, a guy that works in concrete, okay, go get in that crane. Like, dude, that he doesn't know how to do that, or she doesn't know how to do that. They don't have that skill set. They've not been trained. They don't have the experience, so they're not going to be able to do it. They might be able to futz around with it, but, you know, somebody futzing around in the cloud, and I'm not likening it to knocking a building down or killing somebody by accident because you don't know what you're doing in a heavy piece of equipment like that. But I'm saying is catastrophe can ensue, because if you accidentally delete one DNS record or screw up an IAM rule or wipe out instances, I mean, you can take their site down. It's very fragile. And you can cause extreme problems by doing something that you just, oops, made a mistake. You know, and we have to give these people full admin in this tenant because they have to be able to manage everything. So you're giving someone that knows nothing about the environment, or at least very little, full administrative rights to do everything. Proceed with caution, my friends. Oh, man. I mean, in some way, this is vindicating because it kind of feels good in a bad way to be like, yeah, double middle fingers up, because you guys took something that was could have been great here and you completely fucked it up because of politics and bullshit reasons. And quite frankly, I have no idea what the reason is. No one still to this day has shared with me why I was demoted, why I was removed from that position, why they didn't think I was being a good leader. And ironically, as soon as that happened, everybody left. The writing was on the wall, man. I truly was the last thing holding people here, because they actually believed that what I was saying was going to happen, because I'm transparent and I don't lie. I'm not here to tell you a bunch of bullshit and make you feel good. I'm here to tell you the truth and tell you what we're up against and try to come up with solutions with you together collaboratively so that we can move forward and succeed. A lot of times those conversations aren't going to be like, hey, this is the greatest news you're ever going to hear. They're more like, hey, this is kind of shitty news, but this is what you're going to hear. And we're going to work through it together. I'm not just throwing you into the fire and you're stuck on your own. Believe me, I've been on plenty of calls till 2 o'clock in the morning myself for no good reason other than to support the team. And no other leaders do that here. They all just pawn it off on other engineers or other people and, well, let me know how it goes. That kind of an approach. Man, I don't come from that world at all. I do not come from an environment where you just got left on your own ever. In the worst situations is when my boss was the one to jump in with me. Like if I was on call on my own and there was an outage on the property or the stack, that's when my boss would jump in and be like, hey man, I'm not as technical, but I'm here to support you. What do you need? Where are you stuck? Who do we need to call? You know, just the moral support, the help, that goes so far. I mean, I cannot tell you the kind of culture that builds. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But here we have the complete opposite. Here we have, oh, I said this, go do it. Don't bother me again with it. So you're left on your own. You're twisting in the wind going, what the fuck am I supposed to do now? And then you try to reach these people and they never respond. And I'm not making that up. I really and sincerely am not. I would send out an email and it would be days before I would hear back from somebody on issues that I needed to have answered kind of quickly. Not in days, in, you know, hopefully within an hour. And I don't know what you're doing, but if you can't see a fucking email for 3 days, you're doing it wrong. Or if I'm sending you messages on Teams, which are literally instant, and as soon as you get one, you see it, it pops up or it blinks on the screen, or you have a red dot next to the name that somebody had left you a message and you need to respond to it. I mean, there's no avoiding that shit. I know you saw it, you piece of crap. Why are you avoiding it? And this had been going on for months and months and months. It's like my biggest complaint was my own boss never responded to anything. Like, dude, I'm asking you business questions during business hours. Fucking respond. What are you doing? And they just never did. And then they would ask me for a response and get all over me if I didn't get back to them instantly. I'm like, dude, you got to be shitting me, right? So I would unintentionally let shit sit for days. I'm like, fuck you. You do. This is what you do. How do you like it? And that's, again, why everything became so toxic. And I started, I'm like, look, this is not working at all. I got to find something else because I'm spending my time being counterproductive on purpose. That's no way to, you know, I mean, that's no way to have to spend your days. That's just stupid. Why bother doing that? I might as well not be here at all. And I might as well find something that I enjoy doing. And hopefully I've found that now. We'll see, you know, and like I've said, I mean, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm going to a similar type of company. It's an MSP as well. So I'm not sure how different that part of it is. And the guy that I'm replacing had worked at the place that I worked for 10 years. So I can only imagine the mess that he's made carrying that toxic culture over to a new environment. But hopefully these folks have been honest and forthcoming with me and they're really looking forward to someone that has a different perspective and a different approach to doing things because that's who I am. But I'm not going to be ashamed of who I am going into this. And I'm going to be who I am going into this because that's all I can be for me to be all that I can be. Wow, that was a weird sentence. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't go in there and pretend. I'm going to tone it down, right? I'm not going to go in there guns blazing or anything like that. I'm going to tone it down because I understand that my personality is very dominating and very intimidating. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try to improve myself in that capacity for sure. But I'm not going to be some czar over everybody telling you this is what we're... No, we're going to work in a wonderful, fun, collaborative manner. That's what I want to do. And if it doesn't work and they don't like it, they can fire me. That's fine. And I truly mean that. And I say that with almost giddy happiness. Like, I am so sick and tired of being in the wrong positions that I don't care. If I'm in the wrong position, just fucking fire me. Get rid of me. Fine. I'll figure something else out. I'll stay on unemployment for 6 months, and then I'll figure something out. I just don't care. You know, and I know that's a rotten attitude, but it's actually a very powerful attitude because it allows me to really be who I am, right? And it allows me to really be sincere and genuine. And it allows for the very volatile scenario and very real scenario that if I'm in the wrong position, it's going to be pretty obvious pretty quick, right? Because if I'm saying things and doing things and suggesting things and everybody's opposed to it, then I'm going to know pretty quickly that this was a mistake and it's not the right fit. So we'll see. You know, I'm trying to be optimistic about it. But again, as I've said before, that's pretty difficult for me because of how, I don't know how to say this. Like, if you don't like the way that I do things, you just don't like me, I guess, is the only way I can conclude that. I don't know how to explain that or articulate that in another way. We either are going to get along or we're not. It's pretty black and white like that. And it's not that I'm always right or anything. I'm just saying, I mean sincerely, collaboratively. So whomever ends up being the people that work with me or for me or under me or however the hierarchy goes there, my expectation of them that I will lay out is that they contribute ideas and I want to know what they're thinking all the time. And if we're doing something wrong, I want to know about it so that we can make an effective change and fix it. It's not up to me. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, right? I don't know that the 25-year history or 30-year history of this company, these people do. I need them as much as they need me. And arguably, I probably need them more than they need me at this point. You know, maybe a few months down the road, it will even out a little bit, hopefully. But at the beginning, what am I really going to bring to this? I don't know anything about their clients, their business model, their technologies, very little. So I'm going to need these people to be my allies, not my enemies. And you need that approach throughout your entire life cycle with any organization. If you have enemies, and you're working against people, well, I mean, that says it right there. You're working against people. There's no way that that's efficient and effective. It's counter in every way. So you don't, you know, I don't want to do that. I want to be collaborative. I want to be, you know, working with people. I want the 25, 26-year-old people that work there to tell me what they think we should be doing. And then I can think about that, listen to them. We can have an open discussion, an honest debate about why that would or would not work, or why we can or cannot afford to do something like that. Open and transparent. Not some, okay, you tell me this, I go steal your idea and I take it and credit myself for it. And then we do it and it fails and then I blame you for it. I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen. So you might be like, what the fuck? That doesn't happen. Yeah, that happens in real life, not just in the movies. I've seen that happen. And it's awful. And people quit. And it builds a bad experience. So I'm not trying to do that here. I want to be open, collaborative. You know, I don't really, it's not that I don't mean I don't care, but I don't care what the direction is. Let's agree on what the direction is and let's march to that direction. All together, unified. And if it doesn't work, okay, didn't work. Let's pivot and move to a different direction. Just like in the military, you know, you might take a vantage point and you're like, hey, this isn't good. Let's go to that one over there. And everybody moves to the next one. And oh, this one's way better. Yeah, let's execute our mission from here. You know, that kind of a thing. You have to be dynamic with this stuff. It's not like I made this decision and we're sticking with it till the end of time. No, you make a decision collaboratively with everybody that has an equal share in sharing their mind and their opinion and what they think about it. And you disqualify certain things collectively as a group. Because if you just do it on your own, people feel slighted every single time because they conclude their own reasons as to why you didn't listen to them rather than telling them why in an open forum, in a non-hostile, non-confrontational environment. If somebody brings up an idea and they say, well, why don't we try this? And then we talk through and it doesn't work. They'll concede as well because we've talked through the idea and now they see as well, oh yeah, that's not going to work. Okay, no worries. Rather than me just saying no, and that's the end of it. And then they're like, well, fuck that guy. He doesn't even listen to me. That's what they would walk away with. You got to do the work. This is what I mean by you got to do the work. And it's a lot more work to do it this way. But the benefits are tenfold. Because once you get everybody behind you, working with you, not against you, not undermining you, now you have a real team. And ultimately that, you know, that really should be coming from the CEO. So, you know, again, I know I'm walking into problems because if these problems exist today, it's the CEO's fault. I don't care how he wants to blame it or who he wants to blame it on. He is the top dog. So if one of his employees is doing the wrong things or one of his managers or directors or leaders is doing the wrong thing, that's on him. That's his fault for not holding that person accountable and doing the right thing. That's what a leader has to do. Or, you know, and the CEO as being the highest leader has to do that for the leaders. Just like my company didn't do shit for me, right? They did not lead me. They did not mentor me. They did not provide any feedback. They did nothing. They just said, well, this isn't working now. We're going to make you you can stay on as a doer or we can part ways. Really? You think that I'm going to walk away from that with a good attitude and a can do? Yeah, this is going to be. No, that literally that day I was looking for another job. So anyone out there listening, if you're doing that shit to people, guess what? They're already looking to leave, whether you think so or not. And of course, I didn't tell them that. I played the game too. Oh yeah, this will be great. I understand where you're coming from. I see it. Yeah, this will be wonderful. I'm pumped up about it. Of course. Fuck you. I was looking for a new job that day. I've been taking interviews for 2 months to try to find the right spot. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I knew the writing was on the wall. What am I going to do? Just wait till they fire me? It's hard for me to do that. So I didn't. I found my own thing and now I'm leaving and they can kiss my ass and that's the way it goes. Sorry to leave, but like I said, the CEO couldn't even be bothered to say goodbye. Nothing. Fuck that guy. I mean, what an asshole. You're such a fucking pompous piece of shit. Oh, I hate people like that. I really, really do. It's just, they just have no place in my world. Anyway, I did want to mention one other thing. I had said I was breaking up these episodes to get more ads in the middle. And I noticed as I listened back to the two episodes that I did that in, that there was no ad in that space. So I'm not sure if something's wrong with Anchor. Or I'm not eligible for that kind of promotion at this point. Still, I have no idea. But if you hear like me talking about, oh yeah, I'm going to break here and then we're going to have a, I'm just not going to do it anymore because it apparently it doesn't do anything. So I don't know. I don't know what I did wrong, but I felt like I read that and understood it. But who knows, man? What do I know? I'm still learning this whole game too. But on that note, thanks as always for listening. I'm going to say this because I hate hearing other people say it. Smash that like button. Please subscribe. Please follow. Give me 5-star feedback if you think I deserve it on Apple Podcasts. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks.